Let's go now to my colleague, our CBS News White House correspondent, Neil Strausser. Neil?
Reed, as you can imagine, it's a scene of great confusion at the White House. This happened to be a day off for me. I heard this news at lunch and ran into the White House, still without tie. And, of course, one of the people reported wounded is the press secretary. And so a lot of other people are doing the speaking right now. The deputy press secretary, Larry Speaks, has gone to the hospital. A lot of the word is being relayed from him, and you just put on the air, David Gergen, the deputy chief of staff, telling us what is known here. And that word is much the same as coming out of the hospital. The president was wounded. His condition is stable, shot in the left side. And you notice that Gergen told us that at this point, the secretaries of state, treasury, and defense, and the attorney general are all in the White House. And Gergen spoke once of the delicacy of the situation. Every impression we get is that the president's wound is not serious, but obviously all the wheels are being cranked up in case it may be. And, of course, the vice president is being rushed back from Texas, been told to return. In fact, I think he began to return even before word spread that the president was shot. I don't believe it became known until he was on the way to the hospital in the limousine and that he even realized that he'd been hit by that bullet. But our word is very sketchy at this point, a scene of great confusion, and it's very hard to add very much to the story from here, Reed.
Well, thank you, Neil. When these things happen, there is always a welter of confusion at the outset. Perhaps the most remarkable, confusing thing about this was a White House attributed announcement to the effect at first that Mr. Reagan was not hit and not hurt. And this was emphasized in the first reports. It was not to believe that he was, and perhaps to believe Lynn Nofsinger, he himself didn't know he was until the realization struck him later that, in fact, there was a bullet wound in his chest. There's a heavy rain falling in Washington, as there is across some of the eastern seaboard, and this adds to the dour aspects of the streets in Washington being cordoned off now, the police trying to find the last smidgen of detail, if it indeed exists out there somewhere. So we don't know exactly what to tell you, except that bulletins will be issued from the hospital. David Gergen explained that the White House is not at the scene, and the hospital itself will probably tell us more about the condition of the president, of his press aide, and of the two other men that we know to have been struck by bullets this afternoon.
Reed Collins, CBS Radio News. This is Dan Hertzgard, along with Rich Holter in the WCCO Radio News Room, and with us is Senator Rudy Boschwitz in Washington. Rudy, are you still with us?
We'll be right on, just 1 minute.
All right, thank you. We'll await him, Rich. We've had a lot of surprises this afternoon.
We seem to know where we are now a little bit better, Dan, than we did 10 minutes ago. We know where the president was hit. We know what type of wound it was. We know that they are considering surgery at this point. They're trying to decide whether that's the right thing to do. The most interesting thing of all the facts we just heard, I find, is that the president walked into the hospital under his own power. And I think that brings very much into question exactly when he realized he was wounded. As you said before, I cannot believe that they would have allowed him to walk in had the people around him known that he had been injured.
Well, we know it's a .38 caliber. We don't know what kind of handgun it was, whether it was a revolver or a pistol, but at least we found that much out. And the assailant, the alleged assailant, that of John W. Hinckley, Jr. of Evergreen, Colorado, he is 22 years of age.
22 years of age.
Senator Boschwitz, are you with us?
Yes.
Good afternoon.
I can't imagine why they went to the hospital if they didn't know he was injured, on the other hand.
We had an understanding that that they went there because of the press secretary's being injured and suffering a head wound, Secretary James Brady.
The secretary was not in the president's court.
Uh-huh.
No, but it was the president's desire to go to the hospital to see his press secretary.
Oh,
that was the understanding we had earlier. But I just can't find it difficult to believe that they would allow the president, a 70-year-old man, to walk into the hospital with a bullet wound had they known it was there.
Yes. That 38 caliber, I don't know the difference. You said a pistol or a... What did you say?
Or a revolver.
What's the difference?
Well, there would be considerable difference. Most pistols of a .38 caliber would probably be considerably less in power and also bullet size and weight than, say, for example, a .38 special, which would be a revolver caliber and also a common one used by police forces.
That's a big machine, a .38, isn't it?
Certainly enough to do considerable damage. Many police forces around the country use the .38 special.
Right.
What is the reaction, Senator Boschwitz, in Washington, to your understanding to this point?
Well, I called the cloakroom, and I must say the Republican cloakroom, there were a number of senators sitting there, and it was absolute silence. There's just a feeling of shock here, of course, that this new president, who is just getting going and has been shot, it's just remarkable. It takes my breath away. It really does. I don't know exactly how to react. You know that one has to react with some sadness, but to be very lucky that the president apparently is going to be okay. I don't know what stable condition means. That means he's not getting worse. It may mean he's not getting better. But if he walked into the hospital, and furthermore, if he didn't know that he was wounded even, that's certainly a very good sign. But how can the man be wounded, have the bullet lodged in his chest somewhere and not know it?
Well, there must have been a considerable amount of stress at the time, and it's hard to know. But we've been told, and it's been discussed, that can happen to people. As Deputy Chief of Staff David Gerken mentioned a little bit earlier, it is a very delicate situation, and it's very easy to get the wrong facts at times. And so at this point, we really don't have all the answers yet.
Well, as long as he walked into the hospital, which is a visible act, one would think that's a very positive sign.
Senator, what has the Senate done? Have they adjourned for the day?
I'm not sure.
I thought I saw some indication that the Senate... Dick Chapman is shaking his head. Yes, they have adjourned for the rest of the day.
We have adjourned?
That's correct, Senator.
It says that we're in session. Hold on just a minute. I'll find out.
We're in recess, subject to call of the chair.
So the Senate has recessed for the day.
Yeah.
I presume the House will do the same, but you haven't heard anything along those lines, Senator.
He's off the line.
He's off the line now. Okay.
All right.
Well, thank you very much. Pass our thanks along to the Senator, and we'll talk to him later.
We are on recess, subject to the call of the chair.
Okay,
so
Senator.
We're just in recess.
All right, Senator. We thank you very much for taking the time to be with us.
Yes, and I'm sure that your listeners share the shock that I have. Just don't know how to react, to be honest with you, and have to be prayerful that the president recovers. It looks like he will.
Well, we certainly hope so. Thank you very much, Senator Rudy Boschwitz. The words stable, the official condition of the president, stable. There was discussion that the bullet did enter in the left chest area under the arm somewhere, Rich.
And they're now considering whether or not surgery is the thing to do at this time.
The bullet is still lodged inside.
As far as we know, the president's body does still hold the bullet, and they're trying to decide whether or not surgery is called for. The vice president, as indicated on CBS, is on his way back to Washington from Texas. The president, we will be hearing more about the president's condition, we're told, from the officials at George Washington University Hospital. And I guess that's about it for now, Dan. We'll add more, of course, as it comes in.
All right. Just a quick recap on the condition of the other three. James Brady, press secretary, suffered a bullet wound in the head. He is undergoing scanning at this time. No doubt a very serious injury. We'll hear more about that. As well as a policeman and Tim McCarthy, who was listed in serious condition. So there were three other injuries as well. The news is next. It's 5 minutes to three at WCCO Radio 48 in St. Paul, Minneapolis.
WCCO Radio News, this is Dick Chapman. I've just been informed that Senator Duenberger is on the line from Washington. Let me see if I can find the right phone. Senator Duenberger, wrong phone. We'll try to get him on another line. Just picking up bits and pieces of information that come in. This is a little bit more than we had heard earlier from the scene of the shooting. A television cameraman near the assailant said Brady was shot in the forehead. That's the press secretary. And then he added, the gunman just opened up and started firing about 10 feet from President Reagan. The cameraman said he saw a white man with blonde hair in his 30s fire at Reagan from about 10 feet away with a .38 caliber pistol. Quoting again, he just opened up and continued squeezing the trigger. He said the assailant did not say anything. Brown said the man appeared to have penetrated the press corps. Now it's my understanding that Senator Durenberger has reached us from Washington. Are you there, Senator?
Yes, I am, Dick.
This is Dick Chapman. I just wonder, this must be quite a shock to the Senate and the whole Capitol.
Well, it's a different kind of shock, I guess, from the last time that I can recall this happening to me when President Kennedy was killed. I'm standing on the floor of the Senate in the middle of a debate on the Strategic Petroleum Reserve, and all of a sudden, you get a sudden sense of reality and, I suppose, futility about the things that are very passing in life. And it's quite a shock.
I understand the Senate is in recess right now. And at the subject of the call of the chair, it would be my guess, and you tell me if I'm correct or not, probably business would be suspended for quite some time until things clear up.
Well, I think that'll be the case. We are in recess. I would imagine that now that it's known that the president has been injured, there's no question but what we aren't going to go back to the business of the Senate while we're concerned about the president.
Senator, does this sort of thing usually launch an immediate all-out investigation into the possibility of conspiracies, other people involved? What happens to the nation's capital? It just gets clamped down tight?
Well, I can't speak to what normally happens because I think this is the first time that it's happened in the nation's capital. In other situations, of course, there's a concern relative to the complicity of others, but at least in my memory of these situations, we have Bobby Kennedy and George Wallace, and there was an attempt on Jimmy Carter here 2-3 years ago. It always turns out that it's a single individual possessed of some strange desire for fame or notoriety or something, and yet I suppose you have to take the time and make the effort to determine whether others were involved.
Thank you very much for taking your time, Senator.
Thank you,
Dick. Let's get back to your business in hand. Senator David Durenberger from Washington, repeating, the president has been wounded. An assailant fired 4 to 6 shots just outside a Washington hotel as the president emerged from having given a speech. Arrested and under custody of the Secret Service is a man identified as 22-year-old John W. Hinckley of Evergreen, Colorado. He is the suspect in the shooting of several people, including the wounding of the president. Known to be hit by the assailant was the presidential press secretary, James Brady, apparently suffering a head wound. The Secret Service man has been identified as Timothy J. McCarthy, his condition not known, and an unidentified Washington, D.C. Metropolitan policeman is listed as in critical condition. The president's wound was described as being in the left chest area. A more detailed early description indicated the bullet had entered the president's body beneath the left arm, missing the heart area completely, and we've since been informed that the bullet is still in the president and they are still making a determination as to whether to attempt surgery. We expect to have much more information coming up very shortly on CBS. In the Twin Cities right now, we have a northwest wind at 5 miles per hour. The relative humidity 71%. Our Twin City temperature is 8 degrees Celsius, 46 Fahrenheit, and the humidity 71%. This is Dick Chapman, WCCO Radio News.
President Reagan has been wounded in an assassination attempt in Washington, but his spokesman Lynn Nofziger says he is conscious in stable condition at George Washington University Hospital, and Mrs. Reagan is with him. I'm Stephanie Shelton reporting on the CBS Radio Network. The president sustained a chest wound in the left chest. The bullet is still in Mr. Reagan's chest, and doctors say he will have to undergo surgery to have it removed. Mr. Reagan had been speaking at a labor convention at a Washington hotel, had just left, and was about 15 feet from his car when the shots broke out. More now from Bill Plant.
The president's top aides, Lynn Nofziger, Edwin Meese, Michael Deaver, James Baker, all at George Washington University Hospital with him. A few minutes ago, Staff Director David Gergen gave this report to reporters in the White House press room just a few minutes ago.
The president was shot once in the left side this afternoon as he left the hotel. His condition is stable. A decision is now being made whether or not to operate to remove the bullet.
We have now heard in an unconfirmed report that the president is in surgery. CBS News in Los Angeles has been told by his brother Neil Reagan that he is in surgery. We understand that he is in the hands of the thoracic surgery unit at George Washington Hospital. Vice President Bush is on his way back to Washington, D.C. from an out-of-town trip. Staff Director Gergen told us a few moments ago that the vice president would not, I repeat, not be acting as president, at least not yet. That decision has not been made. Here in the White House now are the Secretaries of State, Treasury, Defense, and the Attorney General. Mrs. Reagan is at her husband's side in the hospital. Bill Plant, CBS News at the White House.
For further details, we go now to the George Washington University Hospital and to correspondent Nelson Benton.
Reporters have been standing in a driving rain outside George Washington Hospital since the president arrived and have been briefed twice, once by press aide Len Nofziger, the second time by another press aide, Larry Speaks. The combination of those two briefings are that the president was hit in the left chest, that he is in stable condition. Larry Speaks confirmed that press secretary James Brady was also hit. He would not comment on Brady's condition. Speaks was asked whether or not President Reagan has been scheduled for surgery. He would not comment. Then when he was asked, was he in the surgery, Speaks would not comment on that either. Nelson Benton, CBS News at George Washington Hospital in Washington.
We have heard now that the president is in surgery, and we have a late report from correspondent Phil Jones who says that the president has received at least one transfusion. So to recap briefly now, what we know, President Reagan was wounded in an assassination attempt in the left chest. The bullet remained lodged in his chest. He has been taken into surgery, and he has already received one transfusion. This report from our correspondent on the scene, Phil Jones. Now, let us tell you what we know about some of the circumstances surrounding this. The shots erupted, 4 to 6 of them, according to the Secret Service, as Mr. Reagan was leaving through the VIP exit from a Washington hotel after delivering a speech to a building trades union convention. Mr. Reagan's news secretary, James Brady, was also shot. He was shot in the head, apparently seriously. A Secret Serviceman, Timothy McCarthy, was hit, and so was a Washington police officer. That officer, so far unidentified, said to be in critical condition. In custody, one suspect, whom the Secret Service identifies as John W. Hinckley, 22 years old, from Colorado, white, sandy-haired, according to those who witnessed the shooting. The revolver, says the service, is a .38 caliber revolver. The cabinet members have been assembled at the White House. Secretary of State Haig, the vice president, is on his way back from Texas, but there has been no decision, according to Bill Plant, that he is to assume office as president or as acting president at the moment. We do have a report and a reaction from Prime Minister Margaret Thatcher in Britain. She heard the news of the shooting of the president, and she issued a statement from 10 Downing Street. Tony Brunton has a report on that from London.
Prime Minister Margaret Thatcher heard the news at number 10 Downing Street sometime within the last hour, and she immediately sent a message to President Reagan. In this message, just released, she said she was shocked to hear of the assassination attempt. She was, as she put it, very distressed to learn of the injuries and the wounding, and she prayed that his injuries were not serious, she said. And she also said her thoughts were with Mrs. Reagan and the rest of the family. And finally, this message from Downing Street continues. She says her sympathy goes to members of the staff who were wounded or hit. Tony Broughton, CBS News, London.
Continuing our coverage now of the attempted assassination of President Reagan, the shooting of President Reagan, we go now to my colleague Reed Collins, who's been keeping track of it all. Reed?
Like you, I have been trying to keep track of it all. It's one of those confusing afternoons that began with what was good news if you were the president, because the White House said at first that he was not hit and was not hurt. In fact, the first word we got was that he was being taken in his limousine back to the White House from the scene of the shooting at the hotel on Constitution Avenue. Then, sometime later, the word came from Lynn Nofziger, one of the president's press aides who's been in and out of his campaign life. to the effect that the president had in fact been shot, which came as shocking news to those who were seeking some relief from the horror of the day by the fact that Mr. Reagan, at least, had been missed. So now we know that he has been wounded in the left thorax, a bullet apparently lodged in his chest. We are told by some that surgery is inevitable, that he has had a transfusion, and that his condition remains nonetheless stable. We are also told that he has walked into the hospital and that he himself did not realize that he'd become a victim of the assailant's bullets until sometime after it happened. We have a late report now to the effect from correspondent Phil Jones. The president has undergone some surgery and has at least received one transfusion, which, of course, is probably a normal course of events in such a case. James Brady, you, Stephanie, were on the campaign with them for some time. A rather stout fellow who seems to be with the president at all times has tried to dissuade him from answering all of the questions that the press corps keeps putting to Mr. Reagan, and Mr. Reagan keeps responding, and it's Mr. Brady who's become a familiar figure in trying to move him along. So he was close to the president, and it probably comes as no surprise to the White House News Corps that, in fact, he was in the line of fire.
Reed, I might tell you a little bit about James Brady, the White House News Secretary, and as you say, I did get to know him quite well on the Reagan campaign. He's generally a jolly fellow. He's 40 years old, a latecomer to Mr. Reagan's presidential campaign. He joined the effort after his first choice, former Texas Governor John Connally, dropped out of the race. Brady is from Centralia, Illinois. He was a public relations executive in Chicago before he entered politics. He worked in the Gerald Ford administration and as an assistant to the secretaries of Housing and Defense. During last fall's campaign, Brady was the deputy to the then press secretary, Lynn Nofsinger. Nofsinger is now a White House assistant, and Brady was brought into the Reagan camp after the candidate was criticized for making misstatements of fact while on the campaign trail. And it was Brady's job to keep Ronald Reagan up to date on all the issues. Brady was known on the campaign trail for his ability to deflect tough questioning from all of us reporters with his wit. Reed?
We're told that Mr. Brady was wheeled into a room in the hospital where they have a so-called CAT scanner device. It's sort of a super X-ray machine. He did not appear to be moving at the time. One of the other wounded men is a Secret Service agent. His condition is not known or not listed, but another of the wounded was a Washington District policeman. His condition described as critical. The president's younger son, who's the dancer with the Joffrey Ballet, got word of the assassination attempt this afternoon at a hotel in Lincoln, Nebraska, where the ballet was scheduled to perform this evening. He's Ronald Prescott Reagan. He's 23. Reporters watch the Secret Service agents briefing him. It is believed that the younger Reagan will leave Nebraska and head east as soon as that becomes possible by plane. Mrs. Reagan is at the hospital, as we have repeatedly told you. There has been no comment from her, no indication of what she is doing. The president, as we have said, is wounded but was ambulatory, according to James Baker, who said he walked into the hospital. No one at the scene of the crime had any inkling that Mr. Reagan had, in fact, been hit. He was rushed suddenly. He looked surprised and shocked by the Secret Service into the limousine, and it sped away. Everybody thought he's safe. He's going to the White House. So little we know when you have an event of that nature taking place. You have some of the crack reporters in all of the world gathered several feet away, and trying to find out from an eyewitness what happens is almost impossible until all the facts are sorted out.
Reed, we have this word in that Senate Republican leader Howard Baker has adjourned the Senate, which had been considering the Reagan package of tax cuts. Senator Edward Kennedy, whose two brothers were slain, of course, in the 1960s, the president and the then attorney general, declared, "With our prayers for those who have been wounded, I think must go our resolution to rid our society of hatred. Violence and hatred are alien to everything this country."
Here, throughout. Lynn Nofsinger is at the hospital. He will be making statements from there. We will have the same information here. I can only say what we said earlier, that the president has a gunshot wound in the left side of the chest. He is in stable condition. Jim Brady has been shot. It is a head wound. We have no information on his condition. And that's the extent. I can't say.
Well, we have gotten confirmed reports, so of other network news, so of the wires. Can't you help us with that, Larry?
As soon as we can confirm it, we will. And
Larry,
this...
his brother's been called by the White House, and he has been told that the president is in surgery right now, that he's already had blood transfusions. Is your information going to be that far behind what we're getting from other
sources? No, Leslie, we will do our very best.